Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
You know, yesterday I did not talk about the Tennessee Star publishing the Covenant School Shooters Manifesto, Audrey Hale. I did go through it in great detail yesterday and just never got to the topic. But this afternoon we have Michael Patrick Leahy, who is the editor-in-chief of the Tennessee Star, which just published this diary. If you will, it's been described as a manifesto. It's really, as I described it, a bunch of scribblings in a diary. Michael Patrick Leahy joins us this afternoon. Michael, how are you this afternoon?
Mark, thanks so much for having me on. I love St. Louis. Great people there. Bill Hennessy and, of course, Dana Lash and Gina Loudon got their media starts in St. Louis.
Oh, we know them all. You know, it's funny that you mentioned a Gina Loudon, Dr. Gina Loudon. I was very close with John at one point, and I guess their son is now a rising star in conservative media. Did you know that?
Yeah, it makes sense. Look, St. Louis in the early days of the Tea Party movement was one of the hubs of activity, and it's because of Hennessy, Dana Lash, and Dr. Gene Loudon.
Yeah, Hennessy is great. I love Bill. We go way back as well. Well, let's talk about the Tennessee Star and this particular story, because, Michael, this has been a long fight for you to publish this, and I don't remember all of the details, but it seemed at one point both sides, meaning the police and also officials at this school where Audrey Hale killed people, she was the transgender Covenant school killer, they didn't want this out there, did they?
Well, they still don't want it out there. The heinous crime was committed by 28-year-old Audrey Elizabeth Hale, a biological female who self-identified as a transgender male.
Right.
On March 27th, 2023, she walked into a former elementary school and murdered 3 9-year-olds and 3 staff members. She was shortly thereafter killed by brave officers of Metro Nashville Police Department. She left behind a lot of information about what her motives were. She left behind a 90-page journal in her vehicle. It was 90 pages written between January of 2023 and March 27th of 2023. She also left behind a spiral notebook, which was sort of an operational plan of attack. And that afternoon, when they obtained a search warrant to seize documents from her residence that she shared with her parents, Metro Nashville Police Department officers, FBI officers, ATF officers found a number of items, which included 20 journals that she had written between 2007 and 2022. We immediately sought her writings,
right.
All of those documents we sought. The Metro Nashville Police Department turned us down. We filed a lawsuit under the Tennessee Public Records Act to get them. We also, the FBI has those documents. And so they turned us down under FOIA. We filed a lawsuit in federal court under that against them. The federal court trial remains unresolved. The judge there is reviewing all of these documents in camera. It's going to make some decision at some point. The state case was still pending in June of 2024 when we independently, legally obtained from a source familiar with the investigation, this 90-page journal, diary, if you will, that she kept in the last 3 months of her life, and many documents from the internal investigation and many crime scene photos. And so we published stories based upon that journal, about 50 of them, but we didn't publish the journal itself. We wanted to give the judge in the state case time to make her decision. She made her decision in July. It was a very bad decision. She refused to allow any of these items to come out. In the intervening 2 months, we needed to put together enough of legal defense funds so that if the judge followed up on her bogus complaint against me that she claimed I was in contempt of court based on nothing and wanted to stop my ability to publish these things. But I had to have an attorney to protect me against
that. Of course, yeah.
And then there's this copyright infringement. We finally got Harmeet Dhillon to represent on a potential copyright infringement. And so we just published it yesterday because we had our legal basis covered. And it reveals, Mark, that this was a very, very troubled young woman.
Very, yeah.
Deep psychiatric problems in her own handwriting, you can see. And she was being treated by Vanderbilt University Medical Center for 22 years. She was also on a number of SSRI psychotropic drugs for like the 4 years of her life. And none of it helped. She got worse and worse and worse. She had suicidal ideation. She told Vanderbilt University Medical Center professionals, according to documents obtained, that we obtained from the Metro Nashville Police Department investigation, she wanted to kill her father. And she wanted to participate in a mass shooting at a school. Vanderbilt University Medical Center professionals failed in their duty to warn. And that's
part of the story here. Absolutely. But Michael Patrick Leahy is here, editor-in-chief of the Tennessee Star. I want to put something into perspective here. The Tennessee Star is not the major daily, if you will. Are you more of a conservative alternative newspaper? How would you describe the Tennessee Star?
No, we're a state-based news site. I founded it in February of 2017. We report on news that matters throughout the state of Tennessee, but particularly focus on what's going on in the Tennessee General Assembly and state government.
Yeah. But, Michael, I don't want you to misinterpret. The reason I'm asking that question is because why is it that Michael Patrick Leahy and the Tennessee Star was so interested in this information, which you should have been, and other media organizations seemingly were not? That's confusing to me.
To ask the question is to answer it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Media there in St. Louis.
Yep, yep.
So local television no longer is in the business of reporting news.
We have discovered that in St. Louis as well. I confirmed.
Yeah, so I describe local television as the synoptic globalist left-wing progressive censorship industry, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I say synoptic, they all see the same thing. And that basically there are four companies that own all the local television stations around the country: Gray TV, Nexstar Media, Scripps, Sinclair. With the exception of Scripps, they're all left-wing globalists.
Sinclair, you mean?
With the exception of Sinclair,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And even at the local level, Sinclair leans left. Even though at the corporate level they're conservative, they're not interested in the news. And then the local newspapers have devolved into, you know, not local at all. They're run by some, you know, like the Gannett group is run by left-wing progressives. And they bring in people from out of town who don't care about your town and write up left-wing progressive junk.
It's just amazing. Look, it was a back channel way for me to give you credit for doing actual work on this in journalism when seemingly the rest of the journalistic establishment doesn't have an interest in this. And I wish we can go on, Michael, because this is a great conversation. But unfortunately, as you know, the clock comes into play here. What do you think? Is there a main takeaway moving forward from what you released yesterday?
Yes.
In other words, will there be anything that results from this release?
Yes. In the state of Tennessee, the Tennessee General Assembly will pass legislation to address the failed mental health system that failed the victims in this case. And one of the things is I think they will extend the statute of limitations, which is now 1 year, in the failure of a duty to warn. That's going to be one of the things that they're going to do. And there's several other things that need to be done. Ongoing professional training of mental health professionals so they know that they have a duty to warn.
And this is why this is important. You're summarizing exceptionally well why all of this is important to release, and it's been so frustrating that it hasn't been out there up until this point. At least a lot of it hasn't, because I know you had some of it. Michael Patrick Leahy from the Tennessee Star. I'm out of time. We'll have you back. Keep us posted on this, because I have a lot of interest, and we certainly do here in St. Louis, as you've indicated, with our trans clinic that finally shut down. And we call this a little bit of ground zero with some of this stuff, what happened at WashU, Michael. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Mark, it's great to talk to you and everybody in St. Louis.
We'll have you back. Thank you. We're coming up on hour number three next.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.